The moment, and God made it so simple. Confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you shall be saved. But we are thinking, no, it is more than that. You don't know what I've done. I've killed. I've cheated. I've done this. It is more. It is going to take more for God to forgive me than to just say, Jesus, I have you as my Lord and Savior. Take over my life. You are my Lord from today and all that. You know, we look down on that. Do you know that if people see someone that will tell them to bring 7 cows, bring a Mercedes Benz brand new tear rubber for their sin to be forgiven? You know some people will be doing that. Yeah. And on this other hand, that says that just come and confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that from today you want him to take over your life. You know they will look down at that. Say, no. Well, you don't know what you're talking about. By the time God sees my brand new Mercedes that I brought and I kill cow and all that, he will take me. But this is what he wants. It's paid for. Everybody say it's paid for. It is paid for by the Lord Jesus Christ, by dying. We will see it as we proceed tonight. You will know your value as a church. The called out. The one bought by the blood of Jesus. You will see the difference between you and the Old Testament saint. Praise God. So, all the sins you were referring to, once you've come to the Lord Jesus Christ, he doesn't want you to now be... What can you remember? But I was saying that day that as we proceed on the journey, we still get it wrong. We commit sin. And I said, the Spirit of God, even those sins that you are not aware of, the Spirit of God will convince you, remind you, and let you know that, no. So that you can correct as you go further. The Spirit of God will bring that up in you. It's not to condemn you. It's for you to remember and watch so that tomorrow that same thing will not overcome you. So when you now being convicted that what you said, how you reacted, what you did, it shouldn't be, you confess it there. You don't need to get home and create an altar and sing worship, and then sing praise, and then hail God. You are the God of Abraham, God of this, God of that. Besides you, there is none. No, you don't need that. Right there on the spot. This is how easy this our God is. This is how loving this our God is. Right there on the spot, even as you are talking with someone, it reminds you of, right there, without even telling the person, wait, let me confess my sin. The Spirit of God just convicted me now. You don't need that. Right there, you, Lord, forgive me. That's true. The way I responded to that man, Lord, forgive me in Jesus' name. That's it. It is what? Over. He said, I am just and faithful. And God will not remember again. So this is what I was explaining that day. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Now, somebody asks a question. That, what's the difference between making heaven and getting reward? Because I mentioned it, that some people will receive reward. What about just, you make heaven, you made heaven. You know, what is all this reward for? It's like, when we go for graduation, right? You see, they call some people out that they get special, double honor. It's okay to make heaven. But at the same time, I went over some things that will be judged, because I was clarifying on Sunday that when we say Bema Seat judgment, people think once you hear judgment, we think of sin. I said that we are not being raptured with sin. And tonight, I will mention it again, the three changes that will come upon the resurrected body. As we've been resurrected, our body will be changed in three major ways. And sin is not part of us. As you are sitting down, sin is not part of you. It's not a prayer. except you are not in Christ. If you are in Christ, man, our worth, if you know your worth, you won't just make yourself as nothing. When Satan come and trying to play soccer, you won't cry. Because you worth more. And he knows that worth. And he knows that we don't know much how we are. He knows we don't know. Because if you know, you will know. If God opens your eyes to see the one that is with you, to see the one working with you, to see the one living in you, man. When Satan comes with sin self, you will feel so insulted. You will feel so insulted that Satan, how dare you want to tempt me with this sin? Because you will see how you are dressed. You will see the glory of God on you. You will know that, man, during worship, you don't want to do anything. You don't want to be talking to people. You want to worship him. During his word, you don't want to be talking around. You want to listen to his voice. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
When we get there, I said the judgment seat, Bema seat judgment is not to judge sin because there is no sin in us, but it is to judge what we have done from the time we have been saved. We have come to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ so that we can be rewarded. Because if you have done a lot, you will not be the same as somebody that just fold their hands. Amen. And these rewards will be, last year, I know we didn't cover it yet, we talked about different crowns that will be awarded to believers. And during millennium reign, some will be made governor. Some will be made president. See that hierarchy? Some will be made cabinet. You know, in the ministry now, in our ministry here, we have head of ministry. We have assistant head of ministry. We have secretary. We have, you know, the cabinet member. Then we have members. There will be hierarchy. Because he will say that, good job. He gave you 5 talents. He see what you did with it. Now, more can be trusted into your care. That is, you have the ability, the power, the zeal, the desire to reproduce. And not just to be idle. You are faithful. Faithful servant. So all these things are very, very important. Very interesting questions. Please keep bringing them. Because this is one of the ways that we can learn as well. Amen. So we are proceeding tonight in part 3 of our eschatology teaching. I'm dwelling much on the rapture and all that because this is the areas that I really want us to focus more at, not what will happen during the tribulation and all that, because we won't be here. Of course, we'll be gone, and things that will be happening in heaven, we need to focus more on this so that we will know that this our race that we are running, how we should run it. It's worth it. Giving up for the Lord. Giving your time. Giving your money. Giving your talent. Giving your endurance. Giving your gift. And all that God had invested in us. And all that he is still giving us. Praise the Lord. So when the saints are being caught up, I was explaining the very first day. I said the Bible did not use the word, the meaning of the word rapture when it comes to the saints that are alive. It said that the believers that were gone, the dead in Christ, will rise first. And then those that are alive will be caught up. You remember how we read it in 1 Thessalonians. The believers, the dead in Christ, will rise first. And then the believers that are alive at the time will be cut off. That is where we see the meaning. The word cut off is where the word meaning rapture came from. And I'm saying that the word cut off and rise up, we shouldn't worry too much about it. We know is that we are all meeting. That's what the Bible says. We all meeting with him in the here. In the here. So we are all going, the purpose of rapture to take us from here is for all the saints that have gone and that are still alive. So when the believers are being cut up, taken away violently by force and be claimed for the glory of God, brethren, we are going to be changed physically. The believers will be changed physically. Everybody say physically. Yeah, will be changed physically. So saints will experience a radical change. It's okay to be taking care of this, our body and all that. But when we are raptured, this body will be changed physically. There will be a physical change on this body that we currently carry. We will have a body that cannot experience death and decay no more. This body, no matter how you take care of it, I said by the time you are 150, it's looking somehow. Everything that you are applying to it is not working anymore. It's not showing anymore the way it should be. It's showing now because you're still young. But by the time you are a certain age, add it and add it and add it, it's not responding. So this is not the body that is going with us. At rapture, physically we will be changed. The body that we will receive, there will be no room for disease or death anymore. What a day. Death will no longer have power over the saints anymore after their body is changed. So there will be physical change on our body. Number two, the body will be changed perfectly. The body will be changed what? Perfectly. I want us to read 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. Dear friends, we are already God's children, but he has not yet shown us what we will be like. Did you see that? But he has not, even though we are God's children already, he has not yet shown us what we will be like when Christ appears. But we do know that we will be like him, for we will see him as he really is. John chapter 20, verse 19. John chapter 20, verse 19. John, not Joshua, John 20, verse 19. That Sunday evening, see the body that is going to be changed to. We're talking of the body will be changed permanently, right? I mean, perfectly. It will be a perfect body. That Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leader. Verse 20. Suddenly, Jesus was standing there among them, and he said, "Peace be with you. Peace be with you." When the body is changed perfectly, it will be a body that is not bound by doors, by walls, by space, by time. None of you can come in here now without coming through the door. Amen? Because we didn't have that perfect body yet. If anybody just show up now from here, Imagine what will happen. So some of these women will carry their baby, they will leave their husband. What they will remember first is their what? Their baby. They won't even remember their husband. You see how husband and wife are sitting together. They won't know how they will disappear from their husband and looking for their children. Because you just see somebody all of a sudden coming out from the wall. It is not time yet. We are going to have a body that will not be bound by space, that will not be bound by time, that will not be bound by anything. See how Jesus appeared. The first scripture we read said that he is going to make us to be like him in every ways. Brethren, you don't want to miss that. You know, we sing the song, I want to be like Jesus. It's more than that. It's more than just be going JJ and all that. We will have everything about him. We will have a body that will be changed perfectly. Perfectly. Number 3, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1, and John chapter 14, verse 2. Let us read the 2 Corinthians 5, 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. For we know that when this earthly tent we live in is taken down, that is, when we die and leave this earthly body, we will have a house in heaven, an eternal body made for us by God himself and not by human hands. Our body will now be changed permanently. After being changed physically, after being changed perfectly, it will be a permanent change. This body, this tent, will be taken down. Then we will have a new body so that we can enjoy his presence forever. Because this body that we currently have cannot sustain. It has duration. It has limit to how good it can be and stay good. But when we are being changed, brethren, physically, we will be changed perfectly. And then it will be a permanent change. Awesome. We shouldn't miss it. Amen? It's worth it to give up anything now to make it. It is not in vain. All this must happen before the saints can be presented as the bride to Jesus Christ. So when the Bema Seat judgment has been taking place, and I've told us that the purpose of the judgment is to reward the believers for everything that they have done from the time they had given themselves to the Lord Jesus Christ, and to begin to enjoy his presence, it's going to be awesome. I will run very, very quickly the different crowns, as we had mentioned before during our past teachings. The Bible speaks of various crowns that believers will earn through their faithful stewardship. The first of the crown is considered the crown of righteousness. Everybody say it together. The crown of righteousness. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 through 8. The crown of righteousness. 2 Timothy chapter 4, 7 through 8. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. And I have remained faithful. Verse 8. And now the prize awaits me, And what is that price? The crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on the day of his return. And the price is not just for me, but for all who eagerly look forward to his appearing. So to those who love the appearance of Christ, who anxiously wait and look forward to the day when the Lord will return, the crown of righteousness is for them. You know, as you prepare yourself, as you watch and pray, as you watch the way you walk as a child of God, you are expecting his return. That is what is driving you. So as you are doing this, God is noticing all the effort, your determination to reign with the Lord upon his return. So this crown is given to those who have lived a good and righteous life for God while living here on earth. To live the righteous life is to live the life of Christ, is to live and walk in the Spirit. And I've told us, walking in the Spirit, like we have been hearing as well, is walking in the truth of the Lord, in the will of God. So as you make effort to observe, to understand what is the will of God, and you are watching the way you are walking as believers, you are going from one glory to another. As you miss it yesterday, you are just today. You're depending on the grace of God, and daily you are walking. You are moving on. It's very, very important. This crown will be given to victorious soldiers of the cross, those who fully dedicate themselves, those who surrender themselves diligently and consistently, contending for the truth. It is important that we know that as Christians, we are to defend the truth. By defending the truth is to live in the truth. Live according to the truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That is observing the will of God and carrying it out in our daily living. Praise the Lord. So the crown of righteousness should be for all of us. Amen. Somebody said one day when we finish like this, he said, Pastor, I just want one crown. Once I'm able to have one crown. You know, in as much God gave you life, you are still alive, continue to make efforts. Because if you are just looking for one and you focus on just that, you can miss it all. Don't be satisfied. Don't settle for minor. He wants you to live a very fulfilled life. We are to live a very fulfilled life, brethren. Amen? Yeah. You shouldn't be the one that we make it in one and then leave everything else. No. And that is the one you will hold on forever. Me, I don't steal. Everywhere you go, me, I don't steal. Anytime, me, I don't steal. No. We must be fulfilled. To live a fulfilled life means to continually discovering the will of God and walking in that will. It's one thing to discover, it's another thing to live that life. Number two, from the book of Revelation chapter 2, verses 8 through 11, we can see the crown of life. The crown of life. Revelation chapter 2, verses 8 through 11. Write this letter to the angel of the church in Smyrna. This is the message from the one who is the first and the last, who was dead but is now alive. I know about your suffering and your poverty, but you are rich. I know the blasphemy of those opposing you. They say they are Jews, but they are not, because their synagogue belongs to Satan. Don't be afraid of what you are about to suffer. The devil will throw some of you into prison to test you. You will suffer for 10 days, but if you remain faithful, if you remain faithful, even when you're facing death, did you see that? I will give you the crown of what? The crown of life. The crown of life will be given to those who endure trials, tribulations, severe suffering, even unto death. We face challenges on this journey, brethren. There is a crown for it. Whenever you endure trials, suffering that comes your way as believers, it takes note. It's a faithful rewarder. There is a crown for it. You can imagine challenges you had faced as believers from the time you have been in the Lord, right? It comes. Yes, but it gives us strength. That is why he said, in the world you will be persecuted, but be of good cheer, because you are a winner. I am with you. So when challenges come our way as believers, for the sake of the name of the Lord, there is reward for it if we can stand firm and not denying Christ. He said, if you can stand, if you can endure it, if you can pass through it, anyone with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what he's saying to the churches. Whoever is victorious will not be harmed by the second death. There is a crown of life for those that can stand firm, that can go through. You won't drop your Bible and say, is it because I'm a Christian that you people will be doing all this to me? Dropping the Bible means dropping your sword. That is denying, losing your control, losing your balance. Number three, from the book of 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. 1 Peter chapter 5, 1 through 4, there is crown of glory to all believers who faithfully and willingly and sacrificially minister the word of God in all humility and exemplary godliness, such as Sunday school teachers, preachers of the word, mentors, and all those who teach the word of God in their respective ministries. This crown will signify the importance and sacrifices of bringing up others into the ways of God as well. See, as God is using you and I to teach others in numerous ways, you don't necessarily be a preacher before you will get the crown of glory. But teaching somebody, leading somebody, mentoring somebody, teaching somebody the word of God, there is a crown of glory waiting for you. 1 Peter chapter 5, and now a word to you who are elders in the churches. I too am an elder and a witness to the sufferings of Christ, and I too will share in his glory when he is revealed to the whole world. As a fellow elder, I appeal to you, care for the flock that God has entrusted to you. Watch over it willingly, not grudgingly, not for what you will get out of it. Did you see that? Not because it observed the intention, the motives of our heart, but because you are eager to serve God. Verse 3. Don't lord it over the people assigned to your care, but lead them by your own good example. And when the great shepherd appears, you will receive a crown of never-ending glory and honor. Never-ending glory. And when the great shepherd, you see, appears, you will receive what? A crown of never-ending glory. So the crown of glory should be for all of us as well. I don't know which of these crowns shouldn't be for us. Somebody said that, we're going to have 5 crowns on one head. You are still talking in the body that has not been changed. When you are talking in the body that has not been, don't forget, the body will be changed physically, the body will be changed perfectly, and the body will be changed permanently. So whether you're going to have one head that will take 5 crowns, I don't know. When we get there, my own desire, my own goal is to get everything that it has for me. Amen. That is why, while we are still breathing, don't fold your hands. Continue to walk. Amen. When you see somebody walking, you see them making it, advancing, progressing, moving on. That is, don't just stay where you are. Don't say, I've been saved, that's it. No, get up, move on. Grow in your grace that is upon your life. Amen. The fourth crown is called the crown of rejoicing. Let's say it together. The crown of rejoicing. 1 Thessalonians, the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 19 through 20. After all, what gives us hope and joy, and what will be our proud reward and crown as we stand before our Lord Jesus when he returns? It is you. Yes, you are our pride and our joy. You are our crown of rejoicing. This is considered, this is also called the soul winning crown. God will judge you by your willingness and your desire to be used by him to witness to others. Not necessarily how many actually get saved. Understand that. Because it's possible you minister to somebody, you never see them again. You agree? Yeah. You may minister to somebody and you may not see them for the rest of your life. Do you know that in heaven, everything will be clear? You will see somebody walked up to you and say, you preached to me. You made it. I made it too. And you won't remember you preached to them. Our daily life is preaching to the world around us. What comes out of our mouth, what comes out of our action, that is why the Bible says whatever that is edifying, whatever that is what? Edifying. Whatever that is loving, whatever that is pure. So these are the things that should be coming out of us. Even when we are being squeezed, what should come out should be edifying. When we are being pressed, when we are being squeezed, when your life, when your action ministers to somebody and encourages them to stand, you are touched God. You may not know, but you are touched God. Because what came out of you edifies somebody. So we must be very, very careful. Our life should be full of witnessing to others about Christ. Everything about us should be witnessing. We should always remember, what would Christ say? And that's what you should say at the time. I know it takes the grace of God, it's not too easy, but by his grace, we can do it. That's why by the grace of God, that I always think of, when you are in that mood that you are being provoked, instead of praying for the person, pray for yourself. You pray for yourself at that time. As they are throwing all those bombs at you, you know why that person doesn't need the prayer? Because you are the one that is receiving all the bombs. So, and how you taking it means a lot to God at that time and to the world around you and even to the person. If after they said all they have to say and they see that you are immovable, you are still standing. Even the people of the world knows this. It takes the grace of God to be able to stand in times of adversity. There is one woman, and I've shared it with us one time, that always had a fight with her husband. Praise God. She always had a fight. This woman was very, very quick-tempered, very hot, no patience at all. On the third husband, number three, the issue continues. And she thinks men are bad, that she can't live with men because they are animals. They are this, they are that. This woman will look at you and give you the description of you. You will hate yourself. That's the way she can talk, you know. By the time she describes you, you'll be like, God, why are you still here? If this is how you look. But all this comes from that hunger. A friend said she would take her to a one baba that will help her. That this baba is very good. Herbalist. So the friend took her. They went to the herbalist. The moment the woman was speaking, you know, all these elderly people, all these baba, there is no really juju. They are just using idea too. I'm telling you, from what you said, they pick it, put this together, and give you medicine. As this woman was talking, the man realized that your mouth is the pistol. The man realized right away that your mouth is the what? The machine gun. Pra, 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 pra. Shoot the whole world. Everybody's bad. Do you know what the man said? The man said, I will give you a stone. That's your husband. You said this is your third man, right? He said, yeah. This one will love you forever. The woman said, are you sure, Baba? I want it. I'm tired of moving from one man to another. The man said, you will come back. You will come back and tell me. So, Baba, what will I do? The man went inside. He brought out a small stone, white stone. He said, and he wrapped it in a cotton wool. Because you can't just give it to him like that. It will be nothing. So you wrap it up in cotton wool, white cotton, pure white cotton wool. I said, you see this thing? It's powerful than what you have. You have machine gun, but you see this small thing? It's what? The woman look at the stone and say, Baba, what is this? He said, when your husband starts, or when you see that the thing is coming up, go inside. Put it under your tongue. No human being must see it, including your husband that you are fighting with. If any human being sees it, you will run mad. Ah! Papa, that is hard. The man said, but you said you want to live with this one. You're tired. This is the solution. She said, if this will work, I will do it. She said, this is hard because she feels like, how can my husband be talking to me and I will keep quiet? Praise God. Do you know that the man did not give him anything? The man didn't do anything. The woman went home with the stone. She kept it. So one day, as usual, the soccer started. She remembered. She went inside. The man said, I will wait here. You want to go and bring cutlass? Go. Go. I'm waiting. I'm your husband. The woman went inside and came out with nothing. The man looking at him. So they start. The man started talking. She, for the first time after many years of this experience, the man realized that his wife was not talking. Ah. The man moved closer, looking at him that, am I fighting a wrong person? The woman sat down there. And as the man was doing all manner of stuff, the thing was paining the woman. She wanted to talk and give it back to the man. But she remembered that she will run mad. After some time, the man realized that he became like a dog, barking. The person he was fighting was not responding. So the man stopped. And the two of them looking at each other. The man was going on his own thinking, trying to understand, who is this? Is this really my wife? The woman was wondering, why this thing is working? My husband stopped. So the man sat down. Keep wondering. The woman got up, went inside, removed the stone. The man thought that when he went, she would come back and give it to him. But she came back and sat down. The two of them sat down. Nobody was talking. They're looking at each other. Now, this was a drama. Somebody like you will talk, and you will, and I won't talk back. Everybody was so, they were catching up from the movie because it was a drama to them. Another day, it happened. She put the thing on again. When it happened 3 times, she called her friend. You have to take me to the Baba again. This thing is really working. My husband don't fight me anymore. Anytime arguments start and I don't talk again, the moment I put that thing on, my husband just keep quiet. So they went to the man, the abbadist. She explained everything to the man. I said, Baba, I've never seen a man like you. I will bring more of my friends. You are good indeed. The man said that, my daughter, I didn't give you anything. I didn't give you anything. What I gave you is just a stone with a precaution, a warning. And that warning was just from me. There is nothing in what I gave you. So the way you are able to yield with this stone, now you will yield without the stone and you will enjoy your husband. Then you will realize that you have the best man if you can control yourself. If you can subject yourself. If you can humble yourself. You are the one that have work. Not your husband. The woman was looking like, that's it? Really? And since then, really, it worked out. Endurance space. When we can maintain ourselves, control ourselves, contain ourselves, when there is no self-control, there will be accident. No matter how brand new a vehicle may be, if the brake is not good, it will crash. So there is reward when we are able to let our life be witnessing to others through what comes out of us. And it takes our endurance, it takes our perseverance, it takes our understanding, it takes our sacrifice to others before our lives can witness to others. Amen. And the last crown is called the incorruptible crown from the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 25 through 27. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 25 through 27. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. So I run with purpose. In every step, I am not just shadow boxing. I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified. This crown is for believers who are steadfast and dependable in service with a life of temperance and self-control. Be willing to make whatever sacrifices they may be to successfully complete the mission God has set out for them. Brethren, we can make this crown. Amen? We can what? We can make this crown. We must be steadfast and dependable in our service. Whatever God has committed into our hands, whatever our assignment as believers, we must be steadfast in it without prompting, without pushing, without too much talk as a baby. No, we must not be pushed as a baby. Be dependable in what has been committed in your care. Go extra miles. God sees all this sacrifice you make in order to do it the way it should be done. It's a real sacrifice. And you must be willing to. It's not something that will just come easy. But you must be willing to make that sacrifice in order to be successful in completing the assignment that has been committed. Whether they make you to be the one, you know, carrying microphone. Do it diligently. If you are the one to give out bulletin on Sunday, offering envelopes, do it diligently. Make it a priority to be there. That if you're not there, see how things will go. So you make every effort to be there and be there on time and be there fully. Do not look down on any assignment that has been committed into your hands to do. There is nothing minor to God. You see all these positions, someone is pastor, someone is usher. It's nothing to God. When it comes to faithfulness, what has been committed into your hands, you will be judged with it. You will be judged with it. If he calls you to be a head of ministry, it's a responsibility. Not for you to sit down and now cross your feet and not just be ordering, commanding. Put everybody to work. You don't do anything. No, that's not the way it goes. You serve with examples. If they make you the secretary, don't look minor. Don't look it down. Look it as something very, very important, because that is what God has committed into your care at that time, and you have duration for it. It's not going to be forever. If you are a Sunday school teacher, make effort. Don't just see your student on Sunday morning. Call them. Check on them. Sometimes you can even provide one-on-one teachings over the topics you are teaching them. When you discover that they have questions, there is no time, you can make out time. You go above and beyond in order to ensure that there is clarity in what information you are passing across to your student. When you take time to pray for your student, it means a lot to God. That shows your faithfulness. Not when you are being called as us on the school teacher, let us pray for. No, on your own, pray for them. If you see that somebody is always late, don't even only talk to them. Pray for them. And pray with them. Because there is something that will happen through your prayer at that time as the aid when you pray with them. But if you don't look at it that way, you will just complain. Oh, he always comes late. He cannot graduate from this class. It's not serious. It's not this. Then you won't see the positives, how you can make a positive change in the life of such student. Don't forget, this is a spiritual battle. And the devil will do everything to make sure that some people don't get information that will make them to grow. And if you, as a leader, if you, as a teacher, don't see it beyond this physical, then you can't make an impact. You are the one to do what a person will not be able to do ordinarily. So any responsibility God commits into our care means a lot. You need to take extra time, pray, seek the face of God, receive the key to succeed in that assignment. Don't just think it's something you can do on your own. No, you must spend quality time with God and seek His face and get the information that you need. It's not just to succeed in the eyes of men. You need to do what God wants you to do in the lives of those people at that particular time. And your communion with the Lord will reveal all this to you. And as you sacrificially do all this, it's being recorded. It's being recorded. People may not notice it. He notices it. And your prayer works a lot. Your prayer works a lot. As prayer ministry, you pray for the whole church. You pray for the whole church. You take time outside of your once in a month that you come here. You take time and pray. Pray for every ministry. Pray for peace. And that's your prayer. When there is a chaos in a ministry, that your prayer will be answered and things will go peacefully. And people won't know that you have prayed. They don't even have to know, but somebody knows. Somebody knows. The incorruptible crown. Tell me which of this crown you don't want. That is not essential. That is not important. After receiving all this crown, when we pass through the Bema Seat judgment, the second thing that will be happening in heaven while the earth are going through tribulation is the marriage supper of the Lamb. This is when the believers will now be presented. A marriage will take place. The church, which is considered the bride of Christ, will now be presented. Everybody say presented. Yes. Yes, we'll be presented. You are a bride. What an honor. What a privilege that you cannot forfeit, that you cannot miss. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 27 indicates the manner in which the bride will be presented to Christ. Let us see. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 27. Start from verse 26, please. To make her holy and clean, washed by the cleansing of God's word. You see what Christ is doing, what God is doing through Christ, and all this, the word of God that we hear, that's why you can't take it lightly. What the word of God does is it cleanses us, purifying us, empowering us, making us whole. You know, it is the word that makes someone to turn, to change. And when someone is being changed by the word of God, it will be a drastic and permanent change. Because the word is powerful. Brethren, miracle is good. It's okay. Miracle is good. People come to the knowledge of Christ through miracle. But if they are not, they can, if it's the word of God that can sustain them. After receiving miracle and you say, wow, there is God indeed. If you are not being fed with the word of God, you cannot stay. You cannot stay. It is the word that gives life. That is why during the, wherever the word of God is being preached, stay there. Listen. It is a seed that will grow in you. You may not see it, but it's like a money being deposited in your savings account that is growing, and in times of need, it will be useful. So to make us holy and clean, washed by the cleansing of God's word. He did this to present us to himself as a glorious church without a spot or wrinkle or any other blemish. By the time we have been presented, after we have been changed physically, after we have been changed perfectly, and after we have been changed permanently, and with the word of God that is coming unto us, and as we study the word, it's changing us, we are going to be presented, brethren, with no spot, with no wrinkle, and with no blemish. Instead, she will be holy and without fault. That is you and I. This condition, no spot, no wrinkle, no blemish, will exist only after the judgment of Christ, when believers have been completely cleansed and the church is now made whole, after passing through the Bema Seat judgment. Then you will be appreciated. Then you will appreciate your journey as Christians, the saints, the church. Then all these sacrifices at this time will now mean a lot to you. By the time I was telling us the day, I said, you see how we're all eager to see the bride on the wedding day. That is how special we will be. Imagine, there will be a feast in heaven for you and I, being presented as the bride, as the bride. Let me tell us something before we pray. We are special as the church. Do you know why? The New Testament believers are different to the Old Testament believers. Do you know why? Can someone tell me? Yes. So they will give you a mic. I want our opinion. Yeah, who is that talking? Oh, what comes to your heart? Yes, please. I have two people that want to tell us something. We have Christ. Awesome. We have Christ in us. Is that a different answer? Something in that line. Say it. They didn't have the Holy Spirit. Awesome. Very, very good. Brethren, the bride of Christ is not the Old Testament believers. It's the church. Amen? So understand that. It's what? The church. The church. Please don't give up your right as believers. Your right is your position in the Lord as the saint of the New Testament. Because of porridge, don't give it up. Don't sell it. Don't lose it. Do you know that this is a privilege that we have, that we are the one purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ? We are the called out. We are the redeemed. Somebody was asking, so what's going to happen to the Old Testament believers when we are saying that the church will be presented? Because there was no church in the Old Testament, you know that. The church began from the day of Pentecost, right? So from the day of Pentecost to now are the church, the saints that will be presented at the marriage supper of the Lamb. So what is going to be, or what is going to be the portion of the Old Testament believers? Let's see what John even said. John chapter 3 verse 29. See how John the Baptist described himself. John chapter 3 verse 29. John chapter 3, verse 29. It is the bridegroom who marries the bride, and the best man is simply glad to stand. Yes, verse 30. With him. And here's his vow. Therefore, I am filled with joy at his success. John the Baptist was talking, describing himself as the best man. You remember, which one was the last wedding we did here? It's a lot of wedding. Now they all have babies. We don't even remember no more. You remember when we have a wedding, you will see the best man. You will see the chief bridesmaid and all that. It's only one bride. All other people and the best man are guests of the wedding. The Old Testament saint will be guest at the marriage supper of the Lamb. You, the church, you are the bride. You are the bride. They will be there to witness, but the wedding is for you. It means a lot to God, the blood that Jesus shed to redeem the world. That is why it should mean a lot to you as well. The blood that was shed, that paid for your sin. And you should cherish this position because you have been redeemed. You are special to him. And it continues even until that day when you will be presented, highly presented as the bride. What a position you don't want to lose. At rapture, the church, the saint will be caught up. Free transportation unto him. At the Bema Seat judgment, the church, the saint will be rewarded. What an awesome privilege. At the marriage supper of the Lamb, the church, the saint will be presented, given a special place God has prepared for them. We are occupying a special position as the church. We must be rapturable. We must not miss it. We must make it. Because we occupy a special position in the plan of God. For accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior, it means a lot to God. That is why nothing can happen to you. So see yourself as a church. Church is not this. Church is you. They called out. So we have been called out. We must not live the life of the old. That's why the Bible says old things have passed away. All things have become new. Only for anyone that is in Christ. If you claim you are in Christ and you are still living the old way of life, then you are not in Christ. But if anyone is in Christ, if anyone is in Christ, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. All things have passed away. The life you live now is the life of Christ. The old way of life cannot control you anymore. So see it from here till then, we are special. Congratulations, church. We will stop here tonight. Amen. Can take one question. Yes, sir. Brother Obi Chife. It's working.
Okay. It's working now. My brother Dev Nadeka, in our Sunday school class, once quipped that he would be content to go to heaven just to wash toilets. And he may be joking, but what I found out is that he may not be alone. If he really meant it, in this mindset. So Briefly, I want you, Pastor, to comment what is wrong with Christians having that kind of complacency about, you know, the things of heaven. What is wrong with that mindset? You know, all I'm trying to do is to get to heaven. You know, it doesn't matter any other thing.
Yeah, like I said it. I said, don't be satisfied with that. If you remember, I said it, right? I said, why? Because you may end up losing it all. You may end up losing it all. I said, we should endeavor to grow in the grace of God upon our life. That is why daily we should be making effort to observe. And I said, it's not only good enough to just discover the will of God, we must live in that will. Because one thing is to discover. If we talk here now, we all know we can say great things about what the will of God is. But the most important thing is our life is in accordance with that thing we know when the thing hits us. I say when we are being squeezed, when we are being pressed, what comes out? And we ended it up, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. All things have passed away. And I said, as believers, if you're holding on to one thing and say, me, I just want only this crown, I said, you may end up losing it and lose everything else. But when you see all these things we mentioned as an avenue for us to reach into and to grow into, you will see that you are expanding. You are growing. That is what is called growth. Nobody wants to have a child and just be one. You just be there. You are not growing. You know, that kind of a child will be a shameful child. When visitors are coming, they're putting you in the bedroom because you are not growing. You are not talking. You are not working. You know, the parents are not proud enough to show you. And see, those kind of people, Satan can really torture you because you don't have stamina. Because as you grow, as you continue to feed on the word of God, you are growing stamina. We just talk about men of maturity, right? During Men's Day. He said in all this, that is, in the knowledge of the word, be mature, be man. But when it comes to sin, be babies. So when we want to, you cannot continue to feed on the word of God and you will be satisfied with not growing. No. You will see the desire, the passion. Everything will be coming up in you. Because as your knowledge is expanding, you are shouting, wow, this God is awesome. The love of God will now constrain you, consume you. You want to do for God. You want to do for God. All you want to do is to just, you are in your car, you are singing. You are walking on the street, you are talking to him. Because when that love comes upon you, brethren, you cannot just be ordinary. Amen?
Amen. Praise the Lord. That's an awesome teaching tonight. I believe you said something about, you know, what's, you know, this question. You said something about it earlier on when you were saying that if we know who we are and the glory that is in us, I mean, when the devil brings anything to kind of tempt you, you say, I mean, why are you bringing this? You understand, you know, the elevated position where you've been placed because you are a child of God. When you know that, you know, you can't aspire for anything less. But when you don't know it and you see yourself every day struggling to even make the day, you know, to live this holy life, you know, the flesh is getting on you every now and then, you'll be saying, let this thing just, even if I just, let me just barely make it. You'll be satisfied with the, just getting to heaven. But, you know, when you understand who you are, oh my goodness, you want to get everything because, you understand what God has planned for you. You understand that he's there with you to make it happen. You understand that everything is made so simple for you to get. that Christianity is not hard. It's only hard when you're living it by your strength, by in the flesh. So when you understand this truth, you want to get all the gettables. You're not going to leave anything behind. Amen? So that's what I believe. It's lack of understanding. I mean, it's ignorance still.
Let me now explain to all of you. Can I explain to you? Why this teaching is important, I insist. You see, Pastor came back, the very day he came back, he taught. I mean, if you fly these hours, I was looking at this man, I said, God, this man is a servant of God. It's not everybody who fly in that day. And they teach you in the evening. The reason that this thing, we do this, I want you to listen to me, is that these revelations in the Bible is what God put there to motivate the church. The Bible said about Jesus, because of the joy that was set what? Before him. So these are the joys that God has set before the church. To make you endure your own, the things that we want to pull you back. Because of the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. Because of that joy. These are the joys that God is showing you. Look at the joy that is set what? Before you. So that you too can endure all these things. And so if the church does not teach the body of Christ the joy that is set before them, a very important aspect of teaching is missed out. It's missed out. That's why we do this every year. So that the believer will know the joy that God has what? Set before him. And if you go to the early church, the people that lived before us, it was this teaching that motivated their daily life. They were waiting. In fact, some of them stopped walking. And they wrote to us, they said, the people that have this hope in them, they purify themselves because of the joy they're getting ready. They are motivated beyond this world. So that the things of this world does not hold so much importance to them. That's why the Bible says, let your love be on things on high. These are the things on high that God is showing us. If it doesn't have value for you, it's because your eyes have not been opened. When your eyes is opened, and these things become your motivating joy, the devil has nothing else here to attract you with. Because something more glorious is motivating you. Motivation is very important in life. If you are properly motivated, you can go on. But if you are not properly, when we work, we are motivated by salary, promotions, and things like that. If you work in a place and there is no increase, you don't have your vacation, pretty soon you are thinking of quitting. But if you work in a place, the motivation is good, your salary is increasing. Every December you have bonus of $100,000. You don't think of quitting. If it snows, you go to work. What is motivating you is the thing you're getting. Now God wants to motivate us too by these joys that have been set before us so that you can endure your own cross, despising the shame. Is anybody getting me? Now, if it's not taught, many believers don't understand these things. They don't know the value of these things. They don't understand the value of these things. And because they don't understand the value, it does not motivate them. And so the only thing that motivates them is miracle. Now, when miracle doesn't happen, they stop going to church. And they won't develop faith enough to get the miracle. So they don't see miracle always. So they are going to church becomes cool. And they start blaming people. But if they are motivated by these things that are not here, the Bible said that treasures have been set for you where? In heaven. Where moth does not. Yes, he said those are the things. Those are the real eternal treasures that God has set for you right there. But unless your eyes is opened, there will not be treasures for you. There won't be treasures for you. And your only treasures are those things that perish. And Jesus says, don't follow me for the things that are perish right here. So if you don't get a miracle, no, boy, your prayer goes down. If you go to your job and they're bothering you there, your excitement for God goes. And then the world comes around trying to force you into their mood. And because you don't see anything motivating you, really, you follow your friends. And the love of many is what? I've been doing a study of Revelations. If the Lord will allow me, I'll teach you in those areas. You will see the pitfalls of the churches in that revelation. And you run away from them. Did you hear what I'm saying? Thank you, Pastor. Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir. Right, Steve?
Yes.
Okay, come. Hallelujah.
Also, the package for the church is awesome. But that's an area I want you to clarify more. You made mention of the sense of the Old Testament to be guest, right? So my concern is about what is going to happen to Abraham, Moses, and find out. So can they be guest? All right.
Okay, next Sunday we will pick it from there. But we will continue from there on Sunday. But you are a church. Keep it. Maintain it. That's how I ended it that way. Maintain it. Don't lose your spot. Preserve it. Cherish it. And love it. Amen. Amen. Awesome. Let us take out our offering. Ushers, please give out offering envelopes. We'll continue part 4 on Sunday. So we have 2 more series after Sunday to finish it.
You have just listened or viewed another teaching from the Orange Foursquare Church family. Please visit http://store.ftlw.org, where you can listen to other teachings freely, or you can purchase and download MP3s. Thanks and remain blessed.